Tonight on AfterBuzz TV, Thursday Night Football After Show, NFC South Battle, Carolina Panthers, New Orleans Saints. Carolina's still in the playoff hunt. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Wow. North Carolina is taking their shirts off and celebrating because their season's not over yet.
Allegedly.
Technically, mathematically, it is not over yet. We're going to break it down live on AfterBuzzTV.com, on the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud. You're liking, subscribing, telling your friends about the wonderful world of AfterBuzz. What's up, everybody? I am Josh Tariff. Full gang is here.
Woo! Yeah!
I think the last time we're all here was the 2004 season. Lovely lady next to me is Miss JJ Jergens.
Hi, guys. You can follow me at JJ Jergens on Twitter.
Over on the other side, the lovely Jill Monroe.
Hello. You can check me out at Stiletto Jill everywhere.
And finally, the lovely Michael Rippey.
Or, as you could say, the champion in DraftKings. You can find me on social
media. The champs all!
At Mike Rips.
Yeah, he came back from his excursion of his, like, long trip on my dime from
the DraftKings
drivers.
Yeah.
Could I just say that?
No, you can't.
I just want to compliment you. I really like how you really get all the links and shout out to YouTube and all the stuff to find us. It's pretty impressive.
That's what we're supposed to do here. We want people to find us and like us and listen and tell their friends and the mortal enemies.
Only if you were as good as DraftKings as you are at that.
Oh.
All right, Carolina.
That's the show. No, I'm done. Good night, guys.
I missed this feuding. You know, it was right. So calm when it was just us ladies.
No, I'm just ladies.
Glad you're on separate sides of the table.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, it's good that you're arm distance more than an arm.
That's why I'm
apart.
Over here.
Yeah. So, NFC South battle. Carolina Panthers tonight defeated the New Orleans Saints 23-20. We had a decent game on Thursday night. We're all here. We had a decent game.
And isn't that something to be thankful for?
It is. You know, it's like a little prelude to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the type of game that we were going to expect from these two offensive powerhouses. Right. But we got a surprisingly good defensive game from both teams. And it kept it exciting. Literally came to the last play.
Mm-hmm. Down to the wire.
Yeah, I'll take it. That's been much better than the last couple of weeks where it's been a little struggle to stay up and be here at night when it's been a little boring. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I haven't been here.
he was busy, like, on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
And, you know, how much money did I lose to you?
It was not enough. This is not over yet.
Keep that going. Keep tuned in.
I must get my money back. But yeah, so overall, this game, like we said, kind of went back and forth. Carolina really dominant in the first half, and then all of a sudden, New Orleans exploded in the fourth quarter because we got towards the end of the half. It was 13-3, and New Orleans was driving, getting ready to take a field goal, try to get within one score heading into the half, and then we had a great defensive play that the refs destroyed.
Womp.
Well, the refs didn't destroy it. The Carolina defender.
It was a block in the back more than 10 yards away.
But it was a block in the back.
He was nowhere near getting to the guy.
Yeah, well, it was out of the play, but he still was a block in the back. But nonetheless, it didn't matter because they still scored a touchdown.
Thankfully, this way the Carolina fans did not attack the referees at the half. They immediately then went and had that beautiful play from Cam Newton to Ted Ginn.
That's right. That was a nice catch.
Welcome back to the league, Ted.
Yeah.
He's been a little missing this season, right? That was his first touchdown of the season.
He had 10 touchdowns last year. Now, that was without Kelvin Benjamin. And all of a sudden, this was his first one of this season.
Can I just say that Kelvin Benjamin, as much as the hype was, last season about losing him, what the expectation was, and he went out, and obviously the Panthers had a historic season, his return, kind of underwhelming.
No, well, let's talk about that, because really, on the offensive side, Carolina on paper was even better than they were last year. But, you know, they've won three of their last four, so they've kept their season alive. They're now 4-6. But why do we think that is? Why do we think the offense is not really clicking? Kelvin Benjamin's the type of guy. He's Cam Newton as a wide receiver as far as his size and just athleticism. He should be getting the ball thrown to him, like, every play.
And they were really, like, in sync before he went out. It was last season. It was really a concern. And so far this season, it just, I don't know if it's Cam and whatever he's going through, trying to balance himself out and not be as flamboyant this season. And maybe that's taking away some of his joy and thus his connectivity. Mm-hmm. But it's just, they're not working out. I know that Josh Norman was a big missing piece, but sure. That has nothing to do with this side of the ball. Yeah. So you just kind of wonder.
And Kelvin, he only had four targets tonight. He had three catches for 56 yards. So for only getting the ball thrown him four times, it's a very good game. But why is arguably one of the most athletic receivers in all of football only getting the ball thrown him four times against New Orleans secondary? Well, that is not good.
It's a pretty easy answer to that.
And that is?
That Carolina got out to a big lead and they tried to just coast the way home, which is what they've been doing lately, which is what they did last week and they lost. They tried to do it again tonight. They ended up winning, but you saw that they almost lost tonight again.
But he didn't. But I think three of these four targets were in the second half.
Once they got the lead, they just run the ball, try to run off the clock and play not to lose. They played like a prevent defense, but prevent themselves from winning, which is why they had the big lead and they almost lost again. But that's what happened last week against Kansas City. They're getting tight. After they get the lead, they're getting tight. The offense hasn't been a problem for Carolina, if you ask me. It's been the defense.
Well, the defense has definitely struggled a lot more. Obviously, loss of Josh Norman. That's bunch been huge. Bunch of young guys in the secondary. But, I mean, Cam tonight.
Not a good game.
14 of 33, 192 yards, one touchdown. That is not a Cam Newton game.
But it hasn't been a Cam Newton season, if you really think about it. He just, had his first dab last Sunday in celebration. I personally think that he kind of sealed their season by hitting that dab, at least the game last week. But I think that just something's going on with Cam, and he's not connecting. And if he's not football happy, then it's sort of like a dark cloud that resonates out. And if he's not in the pocket making it work, it's kind of shady for everyone else on offense.
Look, they've lost a bunch of close games this season. They're obviously having a really bad season compared to last year, but it's not over yet. They're 4-6. They're two games back. Still alive. Look at the schedule. They get a chance.
I think tonight possibly could have been his shoes, so maybe he should have retired.
You saw the shoes.
I was not.
You don't like his fashion sense?
I applaud his fashion.
His
because
pregame
I appreciate,
shoes
but
had
these
a mullet.
These ones were bad. So maybe you should just not let those come out again, you know?
Have you seen any of his post-game outfits? Where
yeah,
he's
he had
kinda
a great hat
like
on tonight.
Mr. Planner or the Mr. Peanut or something. I don't know. He's just, he's going through some things, you know?
I think he's talking to Russell Westbrook.
Maybe.
He's got some fashion going on.
Oh, God.
And maybe, maybe Cam will dress up as a photographer next time. I don't know.
Well, as happy as Carolina is for escaping with the win, they did not seem all that happy because pretty much the heart and soul of that team was carted off the field towards the end of the game.
Yeah, well, luckily, though, it was just a concussion. They were talking about it when Luke Kuechly got hurt that maybe he did something to his leg, but actually just being tested for a concussion. So much better situation than
but a little scary since
very scary.
Yeah, and also since he was missed last year with missed three games. And it's like
never good with a concussion, but the way the announcers were talking about it, they thought it was going to be like a leg injury.
I was utterly confused. The commentators were talking about that was a leg injury. In the replay, it looked nasty, like his leg was flat, and then someone fell on it. But he also got hit hard in the chest, and, I mean, he looked like he was having trouble breathing. So my thought was it was like a rib injury. And then all of a sudden they talk about he's being tested for a concussion. And I'm watching a replay, and I'm like, I don't feel like he got hit in the head at all in that play. So I was like, where did the concussion come from in that play? But yeah, out of the options, I guess that's the best one for it. Because hopefully then
Hopefully it's not serious.
A serious one. Maybe he misses a game, But hopefully he's certainly back to keep on this.
Well, Carolina has no chance if he's out for an extended period.
Oh, sure.
They need him. He's the heart and soul of the entire defense in that team.
Yeah.
He's the Cam Newton of their defense. So
yeah, and he was everywhere tonight. I mean,
yeah, he's a huge reason that Carolina's successful defensively. So they need him if they're going to continue winning the rest of the season.
And their schedule's kind of ugly. I'm sorry. I see.
Is it though?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. They play the Raiders next. After that, they play Seattle. Following that, they play San Diego at home. That's a winnable one. Then the Redskins, you know, up in the air. And then Atlanta.
I look at the schedule. I think they can go 5-1.
Really?
I think they can get to 9-7 and possibly win the division.
Jill, what were their next five?
So we have Oakland, Seattle, San Diego at home, the Redskins away, and the Atlanta.
Falcons and the Buccaneers.
Yeah, Falcons and the Buccaneers.
They're good teams there, but if Carolina plays to their talent level, I think the only game they're going to lose is at Seattle. They could still win that one, too.
Mm. I can see them being like that sneaky team and getting that win in Oakland.
Oakland is not that good at home this season. Oakland's been winning all their games on the road, and I like Oakland as a team, but I think Carolina could easily win that
game. Well, yeah, because that's one of those things where, you know, if their defense isn't consistent in Oakland. So it could be like one of those off days. So I can see Carolina sneaking that one in. Seattle they'll not beat. I don't think they'll beat San Diego.
You know what?
I think they might be able to sneak off that win in Atlanta.
You could look at this realistically, the way they're playing this season. You could look at each of those games and say that they're going to win or lose. Because they could beat all those teams if they're playing to their A level, and they could lose to all those teams if they don't bring their A game too. And this season, they haven't been bringing their A game, and that's why they're losing. But last week, they played Kansas City. Kansas City, in my opinion, is one of the best four teams in the league. Yeah. They had them beat easily. And
no
they
one's
just
talking
gave
about
up.
Kansas City.
So my point
they're
is
just
that
quietly.
If Carolina plays for four quarters and to their level, they can beat any of those teams.
But have they done that all season?
They haven't. They've been wildly inconsistent. However, they were 1-6 or 1-5. They're now 4-6. I think they should have beat Kansas City last week. I just don't count out a team that was 15-1 last year. I mean, last year they won 15 of 16. There's no reason to say that they can't do it. It's not likely, but I'm not going to count them out. They're only two games back. They still play Atlanta once, who's in the lead. We'll see. And New Orleans the same way, 4-6. New Orleans is still right there.
Yeah. The whole division is a battle. Atlanta still leads it, but it's still definitely within reach for anyone.
It's still a game. You know, the division is still up in the air.
But let's talk about New Orleans a little bit now. Now also 4-6.
Yep.
Drew, we were talking about a not Cam Newton-like game today. It certainly was not a Drew Brees-like game today. 35 of 44, so that was pretty good.
Yeah.
285 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, and one fumble. His first half was
brutal.
I felt like I was watching a quarterback for a team that I think is the most disappointing in the league, in the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, wow.
At least in the first half. Second half, he came back to normal. But
I think
just
he was
like,
shaking off that Sunday loss still, because that was pretty brutal.
It's been a bad 4 days for New Orleans. They should have beat Denver last week, and they could have won tonight, but even last week's game is the one that's going to be, they're going to look back on this season and look at last week as the one that really killed their season, because they should have won that game. I mean, they can't kick an extra point. If they kick an extra point, they win the game. Instead, they get it blocked and lose on that. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then if you look at the stats for tonight, Drew Brees looks good at his, if you're just looking at the stats, but that's why stats can lie.
Right.
He had a terrible interception, and the one thing I would say for New Orleans is that I like the uniforms tonight. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I do too.
I thought the uniforms were cool.
But yeah, I mean, he had 10 different receivers caught passes from him. So I mean, he's really good at spreading the ball, and that's why, like, when it comes to on the fantasy side of it, other than drafting Drew Brees, you're like, I don't know who else in New Orleans I would want to draft, because he just constantly shares the ball with everybody. But the big thing here, so New Orleans also suffered a big blow with Mark Ingram going down, being tested for a concussion as well. After his game a few weeks ago where he got benched, he's been really tearing it up. He was having a solid game today until he got hit hard in the head in the third quarter and was gone from there. So, I mean, that could be a real devastating blow, because he's one of their fastest players, especially in the backfield, like with the short screen passes for him to go.
He's actually having a pretty poor season, if you ask me. And that's why the last couple weeks, he had one really good game 2 weeks ago, I think it was. But Tim Hightower actually had a better game than him tonight. And Sean Payton's,
Hightower played the whole game.
Hightower, I mean, Hightower rushed for 69 yards on 12 attempts, and I like Mark Ingram, but I don't think that they've been using him as much this season as they have in the past. And do you guys think there's anything to the fact that we saw multiple guys get possible concussions tonight? And we just had Sean Merriman here before, and he told us that the older players don't recover as well for the shorter weeks.
For the short week. And, you know? I mean, both were coming off of bad losses where, you know, maybe they...
And if you're looking at these guys, I mean, Mark Ingram's an older player in the league. And so
he's been around, what, 5-6 years?
He's an older running back, if you're looking at the league. I mean, he's on the older side than the younger side. And same thing with Luke Kuechly. I mean, these guys are young if you're comparing them to, like, your age in normal life. But in the NFL, you have a short career.
Yeah, he's 26 years old in his sixth season.
Sixth season? For a running back, that's not that young anymore, really, when you're looking at the running back. So, I don't know. I'm just wondering, you think it's anything to do with the shorter weeks that we're seeing the concussions? It's maybe something to follow.
I mean, we are pretty deep into the season, so there's going to be that fatigue just from, even though, you know, they're both pretty fresh off bye weeks within the past 2 or 3 weeks. But I think that, obviously, the further we get into the season, we're headed into, is this week 11?
We just began week 11.
Okay, so yeah, week 11. That's pretty deep into the season coming off of a short week. So I think fatigue is going to be a factor in any of that, even if you don't, if there's not specifically an injury or something that you're concerned about, just the fact that where we are in the season, a short week, and, you know, right before
playoffs. And and what about this, though? Like, Coach Sean Payton obviously led the Saints to a Super Bowl not, well, what, 5-6 years ago now?
It's been
Super Bowl 44, so it's been 6 years.
So
6 years. The last couple years, Saints are turning back to just being Mr. Mediocre.
Can I just throw a theory out there that it's not my own theory, I've heard it, but if you remember...
You can take the credit for it, it's cool.
I won't do that. Sean Payton, he was suspended for a season, you guys remember?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
He missed an entire season.
Yes.
There's a theory, I don't know if you subscribe to it, but when he got that season off, that he enjoyed his life so much and realized, like, what he was missing as a football coach, that ever since he came back, he couldn't be as good a football coach as before that. Think about it, because all these football coaches, all they do is sit in an office weekend. They have no family life. They don't get out. They're just studying game plans for, you know, 16, 17 weeks. And then he got a whole week, a whole season off, and he, like, saw this whole another life that he could be living. Like, wow, I don't have to sit in the office every day. So when he got back from that season-long suspension,
he just couldn't dedicate his contract.
Well, I mean, not that he just couldn't dedicate himself the exact same way as before, because he saw the other side. It's something
maybe
to think
about.
Maybe
wanted a little more balance.
It's not...
Better work-life balance.
It's not that far-fetched.
It's not that he's given his all. It's just, you know, you need to... once if he was given 100% before that suspension, and then now he's given 97%. That little extra 3% could be the difference.
Could be big.
And you, it's probably true when you think about it. For a whole year, he got to enjoy his life. And then,
if Saints missed the playoffs, is he fired?
I don't think so, because New Orleans has that consistency with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, and they're competitive, and they've actually had a decent season. They've just fallen short in some of these games. They're going to look back on some of these losses that they had, and they were close. And they're going to – I don't think they're going to get rid of
him. Because I feel like it's kind of a Tom Coughlin situation in New Orleans, where they feel like, all right, you got us a ring, so we've given you this leeway – but that gap is closing at this point, because the defense has not improved. Their offense, you got Breeze, who will make anyone look good, but no one else. I mean, I still feel their biggest mistake was trading Jimmy Graham, because they have not really had an offensive threat like Jimmy Graham since then.
Well, they do have Brandon Cooks. He's not the tight end, but...
And he's good.
They signed Kobe Fleener in the offseason, who's not a Jimmy Graham.
He's having a terrible season so far.
He is. He's not.
He did have a touchdown tonight.
He did get one, I was going to say.
He did. Yeah. He's not having a great season, though. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. I honestly, if the Saints end below 8-8, I think Peyton's gone.
Wow.
You don't think he gets one more season?
Can we put a pizza on that? Because I think he's definitely coming back.
A pizza?
Yeah, like a pizza, and we'll all enjoy it. So even when you lose, we'll all get pizza together. On you. On
Josh.
Yeah,
I'm with these guys, too. I don't think he's out after this
come
one.
Come on.
I think he has.
Let's bet.
Pizza.
So then you buy the pizza.
Well, not if I win, though.
Well, no, if
Sean Payton's fired on me,
okay.
For sure.
Okay,
but if Sean Payton's back, then it's on you.
Okay,
right,
you're
cool.
On.
Here
nice.
We go.
I just want a pizza. We're getting pizza now. It doesn't matter.
He's got to wait like 6 weeks.
Hey, that's all right. That's like the next time I can eat it, so it's good.
There you go.
What?
Are you on a diet?
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
He's already ready he for already the new has year. His, he already has his cheat yeah. day planned out.
Yeah, I know.
I like that. Now. I like that.
That's something to look forward to.
And that was 6 weeks
year.
Away.
Yeah, like next year.
Wow.
Pizza in the new year.
So right now Atlanta still leads that division, like we were saying.
Yep.
Jill, you kind of have the playoff scenario. If the season ended today, as we begin week 11, what are we looking at right now?
What are we looking at? You mentioned Atlanta in the NFC, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, because, you know, I'm moving a little slow. We care about that. So right now, obviously, the division leaders are the Cowboys, mm-hmm. Seahawks, Falcons, and Lions.
Okay.
Wild card, Giants and Redskins. And close in the hunt, but not likely, Eagles, Vikings, Cardinals. We'll just, like, give it to you right there. Stop there. Bucks lower down the list. There's a tie, but... So that's on the NFC side. On the AFC side, the division leaders are the Patriots, Chiefs, Texans, and Ravens. The wild card teams, Raiders and Broncos. Can you believe that it's the Raiders and Broncos?
I honestly thought the Raiders were leading the division, but I guess it's the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
It's the
Chiefs.
It's
just the tiebreaker.
Yeah, the tiebreaker. Yeah, it's the thing. And so close behind, Michael's Dolphins. The Titans, who he's been cheering for.
Ajayi, he's been tearing it up the last month.
Yep, pizza. And Steelers and Colts. So,
but when you say that, think about it. You had three teams in the AFC West and three teams in the NFC East in the playoffs.
Crazy.
If the season ended today,
yep.
No. It's not going to end like that, though.
Who do you see? Okay.
There you go. I was just going to say, yeah. You go ahead, ask it, Jill. Ask it.
Well, who do you think? So, who do you think is the odd man out? Like, well,
let's go to the NFC. I think because the AFC, it's possible, but I don't see the NFC getting both two teams from the NFC East. I think that the Cardinals are going to get in still.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really.
I hope so.
I think the Cardinals.
I mean, to drop, but who gets bumped out?
This is kind of crazy, but I could see both the Giants and the Redskins not being in. I could see the Eagles. I like the Eagles more than the Giants and the Redskins in that division. They're only one game back there, and then I think the Cardinals will get in.
I'm thinking that the Giants will fall out, and I don't know how, but I'll say Arizona. I was about to say Green Bay, but I think their season's done. So I'll go with Arizona as well, sneaking in. But I think Redskins will still make the playoffs. Though.
See, I think one of those teams. Either the
I don't think the Redskins are going to make it.
I think one of those NFC East teams. It's like a crapshoot, flip a coin. I'd take the Eagles. I'm not confident in it, but I think the Cardinals are going to get in. I like the Cardinals. I still think they got it. They'll get in. I like to go on pedigree. These teams were good last year. I think they'll get in.
And then AFC, you think all three AFC West will get in?
Well, I said on Monday night that I think that I've said this for a while. I think the Chiefs are going to win that division, and I think the Raiders will get a wild card, and I think the Broncos will miss the playoffs. Even though that went
but
over,
you just said you go on pedigree, so how are you going to say the Super Bowl champions are going to miss the playoffs?
That's a fair point.
It is a fair point, but they lost their quarterback. I don't like their new quarterback. They don't have a running back. They don't really have an offense. But that game against New Orleans last week was huge for Denver. That was a sneaky win that's going to save them. They We'll see.
Getting good.
I think Denver's been winning games that they really shouldn't win, but they're winning on their defense, and we'll see.
I just don't think Denver's what's Denver's record now?
I think they're 7-3. 7-3. I said I think Miami's getting in over Denver.
Well, it's kind of Miami's 6-4.
5-4.
Oh, they're 5-4.
Mm-hmm. But
that's a little that's LA action. Possible.
Talking in 2 weeks.
I don't remember if I said it on this show, but I honestly don't think that Denver was going to make the playoffs either.
I mean, Trevor Siemian is not that good of a quarterback. Their defense is great, don't get me wrong. We'll see.
And if you ask me
but do you think that if they would have rolled with Brock, like if he hadn't...
No, I think Trevor Siemian's better than Brock.
I think they'd be in about the same boat as they are now. Maybe a difference of a win here or there, but to me, Siemian and Osweiler... are pretty similar,
except one makes like $20 million, the other makes like
that's an issue. But yeah, we'll see what's that. We still got plenty of season left with that. Do we got any other news or gossip this week?
Well, I think, I think for me, the biggest news this week was Tony Romo's speech. Can we talk about that a little bit? I just, like, for me, this is what, just an amazing moment in sports, and it's just like what
being
what an athlete is all about. I mean, if somebody, it's got to be so hard for him to, I just thought what he said was amazing, and I thought for a guy to completely take himself out of it and, you know, put for the good of his team, and I thought his speech was well worded, and I was a fan. I liked the sports moment.
No, I agree. I mean, the results are what we expected because Dak just keeps winning. And do I think that Tony Romo wrote that on his own? No. But that said,
do you think he really felt
it was heartfelt because the guy, he's showing he is a teammate, he is a leader,
and he had been in that same position. Right. That's
who do
how
you think
got
wrote
his
it
position.
For him?
I don't know.
I'm going to disagree. I think he wrote it.
Some PR guy.
But do you think because it was written down, it wasn't from the heart? Because I saw Ray Lewis saying that he didn't feel that it was, you know, it might have been genuine, but because it wasn't just his words flowing, which I felt isn't fair because not everyone is a wordsmith.
Exactly. I do think it was still genuine. And I respect it because here's a guy who really, if he wanted to, could get traded and be a starter on at least half of the teams in the NFL next week. And he sees the camaraderie in the team that made him, and he wants to stay with that team and ride this thing out.
Do you think that part of that, though, is because of the fact that Dak is a rookie? You know, this thing could flame out at any time. We don't think so, and Dak hasn't carried himself like the typical rookie.
It's the story of Brady and Bledsoe all over again.
He could hit the wall and Romo come in and save the day, and then what? That would be a Cinderella comeback, right?
I already told you.
What did you say?
He said the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl and Romo's going to be MVP.
Tony Romo's going to play this season. I don't understand why.
Why are you kidding?
It's a nice speech. It was well said, well thought of. There's going to be a point where Dak shows that he's a rookie, he's going to have a bad game, Tony's going to get back in the game, and you'll see. I'm just telling you. We got a lot of time for this to happen.
I can see that happening. I really can. I feel like while his speech was heartfelt and a great veteran and setting himself up, should Dak run the table or so forth, you know, Romo can exit at the end of the season, not even with a trade, because if they cut him, the Cowboys save money, and then he could pick where he goes.
Well, just today, Jerry Jones said that he still thinks he's not going to do anything with Tony in the offseason, and that Tony has another 5 seasons left of competitive football. Now, like, that might just be talking and Jerry Jones doing his thing, because there's a bunch of teams that will be interested in Tony Romo in the offseason. But realistically, I'm not just saying this because we're doing this. I really do think that Tony is going to play this season, and I think he's going to be the Cowboys season is going to fall down to Tony Romo. I don't think it's going to come down to Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott's been great. I think Dak Prescott has proven that he's the future of the Cowboys, whether that's, you know, right now moving forward or next season or maybe in 2 seasons. He's done well. I don't necessarily think you put Tony in yet, but there'll be a moment where Tony gets in the game, and I think Tony Romo's a better quarterback. I don't even think it's a question, to be honest, that Tony Romo's a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. It's not even close, in my opinion, to be honest. But Dak Prescott has this team rolling. They've won 8 in a row, and so you can't change it now, but there'll be a time that Tony plays this season, you'll see.
I would love to see that scenario be true, because I would love to see that happen, and I would actually like to see Tony leave then after. I would like to see him play for a different team next year.
I think they've all handled it well, though. Dak's handled it well, Tony's handled it well, and it'll play itself out. These things usually do.
So, slightly off topic, based on performance last week, because we kind of talked about mid-season awards a couple weeks ago, do you think Ezekiel Elliott jumped in the lead for the MVP race?
I do. He's incredible.
Yeah.
I think that's why you're seeing such a good play from Dak. I think Dak is good.
Yeah.
But his game has been made a lot easier because he's got this guy named Ezekiel Elliott who's unbelievable.
Or is it the O-line? Because I've heard
the O-line's been amazing.
The O-line of Dallas is incredible, and that helps both of them for sure.
Yeah.
But having a weapon like Ezekiel to go with it, it makes it a lot easier on Dak. Dak's really good at the play action, and that is strictly attributed to being able to have a great running back that everyone thinks is getting the ball. And when he does get the ball, basically scores touchdowns or you don't even touch him. But they're both awesome.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. They're both having great seasons. I like Dak as a quarterback. He's done really well. I saw him, and I remember I went to the preseason game against the Rams. It was the first game, and I remember thinking, man, like, he was awesome. I was impressed right then mm-hmm. before, you know, who knew what would happen now. And he's great and he's done amazing, but I still think that Tony Romo is an elite quarterback. While he's brittle and gets hurt a lot, we'll see. There's a lot. Wait till it gets a little bit more intense.
Interesting, interesting. Okay.
It's a lot of pressure to put on a rookie quarterback.
Any other news this week? Because I thought – I know of some other news. I don't know if you have it written there.
I don't. Go ahead.
What about Jared Goff?
Oh, Jared Goff is starting on Sunday.
Finally, the number one pick in the draft is actually going to play football. Do we think they waited too long, or is this the right time for Goff to start?
Well, they definitely waited too long, but here's the reason they waited this long. I was thinking about it for a while because there's no answers to why you would not have played Jared Goff. However, hear me out. This is the only reason. Jeff Fisher is a disaster of a coach. He's always been a disaster of a coach, but he had one thing in his pocket, and that was Jared Goff. And he's trying not to play him for a while so that he didn't have to use it. Because all he has left is this Jared Goff thing. If Jared Goff isn't good, then what does he have left to say? He's got nothing left. He could at least sell everyone on the hope of Jared Goff for a while.
Did you hear the explanation that I can't remember where this came from? Something about so when Jarrett was in college, he didn't face as complicated as offenses. He didn't even call the plays on the field for his team, so that it was more of a learning curve thing for him and getting acquainted with the playbook as well as NFL football. Do you buy that? But I mean, he's the number one pick.
I buy that a little bit.
Yeah, here's my thing. If he's the number one pick, why would they draft someone who doesn't know how to do that? With a number one pick.
And not only that, you see this in other teams and coordinators and coaches. You can create an offense that fits the player.
Sure.
Don't make the player have to fit into your system. If you're a really good coach, you make the system fit your player because your players are always going to be different. So no matter who the player is.
Whole training camp, preseason, and 11 weeks for him to do that.
There's no excuse. You drafted him.
So I have one more story if we're interested.
Sure.
Von Wafer. Not Wafer, I'm sorry. Von Miller. Von Wafer is like an old NBA player. I don't know why his name keeps coming up. Von Miller. He's being extorted for, I think it's $2.5 to $5 million by a woman he met in Cancun.
I don't know.
Excuse me. A woman he met in Cancun last summer who recorded them having sex and is trying to shop their sex tape. So...
He didn't know.
Super Bowl MVP, sex tape, that's worth about $5 million.
Right. He knew that he just met her when they were in Cancun. Sounds like one of those planned trips where you invite a bunch of fun girls. She's trying to be an actress, and she hosts sometimes at a popular strip club in L.A., and so...
They all do.
They met and became friends, and now she's trying to extort him. So, there you go. Be careful of your friends.
Yeah. Hear that, Mike? Be careful. You went on this luxury trip on my DraftKings money. I don't know what you did. I don't know, but someone might be extorting you, and then you're going to have to really go like high roller on me in DraftKings.
Whenever you want.
The other news, I guess, is big news for LA is that we broke ground on our new stadium today.
Stadium's being built. And they're projecting it to be ready for the 2019 season.
Yep, $2.6 billion.
Can't come soon enough.
Yeah. Entertainment complex. Right next door to the Forum, right under the line of the airport. So
it looks beautiful. They said they'll open it up. You can hear ocean breezes. Get the ocean breeze.
Really? That's kind of far
they
from the
ocean.
They said
that this morning. That's kind of what
sounds
I thought,
good.
Too.
Sounds good.
Smog.
I was going to say, how are you going to hear the
that's
ocean
That's the way
from there?
They sold it. Well, I'm sorry, not hear the ocean. Feel the ocean breeze is what they said. That
okay.
The
well,
gonna
you
open
know what?
Up
it does get cooler over there than, you know, maybe the valley. So I guess that could be... ocean cooling.
Sure.
Right? We'll go with that.
We'll roll with it. Let's look at some of the matchups for this weekend. Maybe some fantasy players to watch out for. First off, anyone on Pittsburgh draft or start this week? They are playing Cleveland, who is terrible. And Pittsburgh is furious that they lost that game to Dallas. They're going to score 9,000 points against, well, maybe not. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit.
They should be embarrassed.
But I don't care who you start on Pittsburgh's offense, they're going to get points this week.
They're fired up.
Mike looks like you disagree with me.
No.
Oh, okay.
I think you're right. I think if there was one Brown I would take, it would be Terrell Pryor, though.
He's the only Brown that produces, really, these days. I think it's honestly going to be a good week for quarterbacks. I really like Matt Stafford's matchup at home against Jacksonville. I've already talked about Jacksonville. What was the other one that I was... Oh, I think Kirk Cousins, Sunday night, is going to lead Washington to a victory over Green Bay at home and officially eliminate Green Bay's chances at the playoffs.
Green Bay has looked like trash this season, so that doesn't surprise me. That sounds very doable.
I would look for Marcus Mariota and...
That's another one.
That's been your highlight team, one of them, all season long. You've been
Tennessee,
like,
they're good.
I think they could win the division now.
This is the game, though. They have to win against Indianapolis.
Yes.
Whoever wins that game is alive in that division, and the loser's out. So Tennessee's got to win this weekend.
Also, Odell Beckham, I know it's a common person to start, but I think he'll have a really big game against the Chicago Bears' weak defense.
The one person I think is going to struggle this week, mm-hmm. you just talked about the Cowboys, is I think that Zeke is going to struggle. I think Ezekiel is
going to
struggle.
He's due for a not-so-great game.
The Ravens have an amazing rush defense, and I think this is the week. Actually, if I could just say it, I think the Ravens are going to beat the Cowboys this weekend.
That's your upset this week?
Okay.
I could see it.
Interesting.
You know, my upset, as much as we were praising them earlier, I feel like somehow Tampa's going to upset Kansas City.
Wow.
I don't know how, but I feel like this could be like that trap game for Kansas City.
Kansas City's 17-2 in their last 19 games.
Mm-hmm.
Something crazy, but yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And then we are off next week due to Thanksgiving. Make sure you eat plenty of turkey, but we have 3 games on Thanksgiving, so we'll just try to predict those really quick here. So first off, we got NFC North battle, Detroit at Minnesota. Again, we don't know what might happen this weekend, obviously, if injuries, that can certainly change things. But Detroit, Minnesota. Minnesota's just free falling to mediocrity.
Yeah, I think Detroit will win at home. Yeah. Thanksgiving game. Mm-hmm.
I think that one. Dallas home against Washington. If Dallas pulls off the win against Baltimore, I think they lose to Washington on Thanksgiving.
But if they...
So Dallas has a loss coming either Sunday or Thursday, no matter what.
Yeah, Dak's finally going to lose sometime in the next 7 days.
I think the best part of Dallas on Thanksgiving is their uniforms. I love their Thanksgiving Day uniforms.
Those are throwbacks, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they're nice.
And then the third game, I think it's a very intriguing game. Both teams' seasons are really on the line in it. Indy hosting Pittsburgh.
I'm going with Pittsburgh.
I think that it's going to be a huge shootout in that one, I think.
Definitely.
So I'm looking forward to it.
If you want to make some money, though, and do like a parlay, the 3 winners, you got Detroit, Pittsburgh, and Dallas.
You're on a little win streak on me on DraftKings. All of a sudden, you're turning to like super bookie guy.
No, I'm not. Get your money and report back. Let us know if you take any of Mike's advice.
Listen,
and how it works.
Don't forget last night. I thought the Browns were going to beat the Ravens and get a win, so I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot.
I thought the Bills were going to beat Seattle a couple weeks ago, and I was close. I got really close on that one.
That was close, I remember.
But, so, that's our breakdown of tonight's game and what we're looking forward to over the next week. Again, we'll be back in 2 weeks, because we're going to be busy eating lots and lots of turkey and watching some great football next Thursday. But in the meantime, you can talk to us on various forms of social media. Your Highness, Mr. DraftKings, Michael Rippey, how can people reach out to you?
You can find me on social media at Mike Rips. By the way, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, so happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And if you have any leftovers, just send them. I'll send you my address. Just let me know where I can get them. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right.
It's Jill. You can find me at Stiletto Jill. Check out JacksonStilettoJill.com and enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Hey, guys, you can follow me at JJ Juergens and at TomGirl.tv, and happy Thanksgiving.
And you can follow me on Twitter if you want to talk wrestling at Real Rosenberg. Enjoy the turkey, the stuffing, the cranberries, the ham, whatever else you cook. I make my famous buffalo chicken dip. That's my little specialty.
That's you that does that wrestling show?
Some other guy that looks like me. It's weird. And for all your other AfterBuzz TV news, follow him on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Michael Rippey, Jill Monroe, and JJ Juergens, I'm Josh Tariff. Happy Thanksgiving.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.